From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Spear. President Obama and his Russian counterpart have set a date to sign a new strategic arms reduction treaty, which would cut the nuclear arsenals of each country by about a third. More from NPR's Michelle Kellerman.
After speaking with Russian President Dmitry Medvedev by phone, President Obama announced that the two would meet in Prague April 8th to sign a follow-on treaty to START. He called it the most comprehensive arms control agreement in nearly two decades.
With this agreement, the United States and Russia, the two largest nuclear powers in the world, also send a clear signal that we intend to lead by upholding our own commitments under the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty. We strengthen our global efforts to stop the spread of these weapons and to ensure that other nations meet their own responsibilities.
The president is to host an international conference later in April to talk about ways to secure nuclear materials and strengthen the nuclear nonproliferation regime. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.
Iraq's prime minister is questioning election results showing his secular challenger winning more seats in the country's parliamentary election. That's after a full results released today show the party of former Prime Minister Iyad Alawi winning 91 seats, edging out Prime Minister Nouri al-Maliki's 89 seats. The BBC's Andrew North has more from Baghdad.
Just before the results were actually announced by the Electoral Commission, the United Nations came out and said there had been no evidence of systematic fraud, its special envoy said, and has called on all parties and candidates to accept the result. And really that's in reference to the concerns there have been in the run-up to today's announcement that there could be violence because perhaps some parties would not accept these results.
BBC's Andrew North in Baghdad. Twin bombings near a restaurant north of Baghdad claimed at least 40 lives today. Police spokesman says dozens of others were injured in the explosions. The blast took place in the town of Khalis, some 50 miles north of the Iraqi capital. Police officials says one of the explosions was a car bomb, the other was a suicide bomber. The Obama administration is out with a more aggressive plan aimed at keeping people in their homes. The program will help homeowners behind on their mortgages, people trapped in homes where they owe more than the properties are worth, and out-of-work individuals. Rick Sharga is a senior vice president with the firm Realty Track, which maintains an extensive database of foreclosed upon properties.
The value of the loan actually is written down to current market value of the house. So if you can afford to make the payments on that lower amount, you really are better off. You stay in the house. You don't have a foreclosure on your record. Your monthly payments go down.
Funds for the program will come from the government's Troubled Asset Relief Program. It's estimated as many as 11 million households, or a fifth of those with outstanding home loans, are underwater, meaning they owe more on their mortgages than the property is worth. Mixed end of the week for Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 9 points. The Nasdaq was down 2 points today, though. The Standard & Poor's 500 was up just a fraction. You're listening to NPR. Two survivors of today's deadly crash in Kentucky involving a tractor-trailer and a Mennonite church van taking a family to a wedding have been released from the hospital. State police say 11 people, including the truck driver, were killed when the semi, for an unknown reason, crossed the median on Interstate 65, striking the van head-on early today, 75 miles south of Louisville. National Transportation Safety Board said it was dispatching a team to investigate the fatal crash. In a statement, Governor Steve Beshear called the crash one of the deadliest in recent history in Kentucky terrible. South Korean media are reporting on the sinking of a ship west of the Korean Peninsula. NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Seoul of a possible naval clash between North and South Korea.
South Korea's Yonhap News Agency is quoting Navy officials as saying a South Korean Navy ship with 104 crew members sank in the Yellow Sea after an explosion on the ship's stern. It says the 1,500-ton ship went down after 9 p.m. local time today and that a rescue operation was underway. The South's YTN TV says the government is investigating the possibility of a North Korean torpedo attack. Yonhap also says that a South Korean naval ship fired on an unidentified vessel to its north after the South Korean ship began sinking. It says government ministers in charge of security are meeting in Seoul to discuss the incident. Today's events occurred near the two Koreas' disputed maritime border, where naval clashes have flared in recent years. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Seoul.
Commerce Department says the U.S. economy expanded at a 5.6% annual rate for the October through December quarter of last year. Much of that is credited with government stimulus efforts. It was the strongest showing for the economy in 6 years. I'm Jack Spear, NPR News in Washington.